Radio Ghana.
A very good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, how healthy is Ghana? The captain of the ship of the state, President John Mahama, will spell it out tomorrow as he delivers the State of Nation address in Parliament. Representatives of the NDC majority and NPP minority in Parliament will tell us which areas they expect the address to highlight tomorrow. And what about the operators in industry and commerce? Are they upbeat with the State of the Nation address tomorrow? Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our program tonight. You can also join the discussions via text on 0266-677570. 0266-677570. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is also live on Unique FM 95.7 in Accra and Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast. The President, with his economic doctors, will tomorrow present to Ghanaians through Parliament the state of the health of the country. It is President Mahama's second State of the Nation address at a time when the economy has been described by some politicians as going through some turbulence. The address is delivered at the opening of every parliamentary session, and it is in accordance with Article 67 of the 1992 Constitution. The economy will definitely be a major focus of the address, with the nosedive that the city has taken against the major international currencies. Tonight on Behind the News, we forecast what the president is expected to see. But first, let's listen to the expectation of some Ghanaians.
I'm expecting that he will come up with more ideas and how to solve these problems arising in Ghana. As you can see, we have this water crisis, energy. Today, there is no water. Tomorrow, light is not available. And I don't know what is going on. He told us a better Ghana. We are expecting a better Ghana. If you don't take it, we will go back to our hippie stuff, because today, Bank of Ghana will come up with this. Look at the city. The dollar has really murdered the city. Right?
Issues about the economy, issues about the water, issues about energy. In fact, something that we have to contend with as Ghanaians. And what is it that are they going to tell about? Is it the truth they're going to tell us? And then after all those promises, are they going to fulfill them?
I believe that the President's State of Nation address is going to be the same old story, because there are more issues concerning corruption, malfeasance, people spending money and all that. So I believe that the president is also more or less like a PR person. So he has nice words to convince Ghanaians. For me, that is my feeling, because I don't have nothing so significant that he's going to tell us. Now the economy is dwindling, seriously. So for me, I thought it's the same old story.
I'm expecting the president tomorrow to address issues, concrete issues, and not just keep beating about the bush and talking about issues that are not attainable and achievable. Tomorrow he should just address issues so that the people will be at peace.
I'm very tough these days. Look at the electricity. Well, this prepaid matter, you can go and buy 40, and now within 2 weeks, you have to go back and buy it again. So we are expecting something good from him, if at least he can do something about it.
Well, those are expectations of some Ghanaians. Now let's go to the phone lines and speak with James Clute Avedu, who is the chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Finance. Good evening, sir, and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening, my sister, and how are you?
I'm very well. I'm sure you heard the expectation of some Ghanaians on the State of the Nation address. And what would you say is wrong with our economy, which you hope President Mahama will attempt to prescribe some solutions to supplement the directives given by the Bank of Ghana and the Ministry of Finance?
So thank you very much. I think that currently the issue that we are battling with is the fall in the value of our currency, the cedi, which has come as a result of a number of factors which we have been discussing on the airwaves recently. But if you permit me, I'll just talk about a few of them. We have realized that as a country, we have a structural problem in terms of what can make our economy strong. And the problem we have is that our country or economy is more or less import-led. Instead of we trying to conserve some foreign currency that we earn from our traditional exports, we're rather using all of them and even more in bringing in imported goods for consumption. So structurally, that is a problem we have as a country. Because the foreign currencies, because they are currencies that belong to other economies or other states, we can only get them through an economic activity. We can only get them through selling what we can produce here best. And talking about that, one comes to mind is the cocoa that we produce, the gold that we also have, recently the oil that we had, and few non-traditional exports. So Ghana earns foreign currency from this number of exports. Now, but what happened is that these exports are not enough. The earnings that come from these exports are not enough to meet our demands in terms of the import. So there is imbalance. Our current account balance account has all along been in the imbalance in the form that we need more foreign currency to import the goods. So that is a structural problem we have. That is wrong with our economy.
Well,
so I expect the president to tell all of us, Ghanaians, that this is the situation we have as a country. It is not something that has started during the time of our dear president. It is something that has started for a long time, and all government over the years have made a lot of effort to correct it. But I think that is the time that the president must tell Ghanaians that as a country, if we want our future to be bright, it is good for us to save the bullet now. It is good for us to work for the future of this country. So that the president should tell us what government is going to do in order to kind of cut down the import, or in other way, push or increase export in order to balance that area. Now, what I'm trying to say is that if we have comparative advantage in the production of some goods in this country, and what comes to mind is rice. We import a lot of rice into this country. Where we can produce this rice in large quantities, for that matter, we don't need that foreign currency to import rice. When we produce rice in large quantities, we can export part of it and earn foreign currency. That is one item. If you also take, for instance, sugar, we also have a comparative advantage to produce sugar here, and therefore to cut down the importation of sugar, or even to export part of what we're going to produce. So the president should be able to tell us structurally what government is going to do in order that asking Ghanaians to support government, so that we can, as a country, shift focus towards this area, so that we don't depend solely on cocoa, gold, oil, and whatever. Let's try to add other items to it. So as we are producing those items that we are consuming now as a country, producing them here, and we are consuming them here as a country, and even exporting part of them, we'll be reducing the import. At the same time, increasing our export, so that this imbalance is there. This is what I expect the president to tell Ghanaians.
Mr.
Also, in addition to that, in the interim, what the president is doing to, or that the government is doing to arrest the fall in the value of the currency. We know some of activities of our own selves is something that is causing that. One, we try to price our goods, everything here in dollars. Meanwhile, we don't produce dollar, we don't need dollar in this country. So what do we sell land in dollars? Quote everything in dollars. Quoting those in dollars, that is making individual Ghanaian citizens going after dollars to go and look for dollar, buy the dollar, so that they can go and pay or buy whatever they want to buy. So if we begin, the president should tell us that what is going to stop all these companies, businesses that are pricing their products or goods in dollars, so that we can price our goods in cedi, because that is our currency. That will go a long way to reduce the pressure we have in the city, because a lot of people are looking for the dollar, therefore the price goes down. So that is what I'm expecting the president to tell us tomorrow in the State of the Nation address.
Mr. Aveji, some have also argued that the Bank of Ghana is not allowed to operate freely. That is why we are in the present state of affairs. Is it the case that the Bank of Ghana is micromanaged by politicians?
No, I don't think so. Bank of Ghana is managed by an act. Bank of Ghana is an autonomous body which is mandated to look at the fiscal in terms of the monetary issues in this country. Government is on the fiscal side, looking at revenue, how to raise revenue, and how to spend that revenue to fall within the limit. But Bank of Ghana is that has the power to look at the monetary policies and ensure that those is adapted. We might say Bank of Ghana should be assisted by the executive, government, in order to implement some of this mandate. Because the Bank of Ghana want to ensure that Ghanaian businesses do not price their products or goods in foreign currency, but in CD. Bank of Ghana will need the services of the executive by asking the police to assist in enforcing that directive. So that is why you see that government comes in to assist Bank of Ghana. But we cannot say that government is micromanaging the Bank of Ghana. That is why they are not able to implement some of those things. I do not think that that is the case.
We understand some members of the House have kicked against the 5 minutes allotted to contribute to the State of the Nation address. Does it still stand, or you allot more time to members of Parliament?
Well, I think that that is a matter for the Business Committee. It's the Business Committee that brought the report that in the situation where more members, you know, we have 275 members of Parliament, and if we have 275 members of Parliament and everybody wants to speak, in order to allow more people to contribute to the debate, we give 5 minutes members. The mover of the motion are given 20 minutes each. But I know members are kicking against it. So what will happen is that if at the end members are given more than the 5 minutes, then the number of people who will have to contribute to the debate will have to cut down. So that is there will not be enough time to allow members maybe 10 minutes or even 20 minutes or 15 minutes to contribute. In that case, we'll be debating this State of the Nation address for months, which I don't think will be economically productive for us as a country.
Mr. Aveji, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. James Clute Aveji is the chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Finance, and Dr. Mark Sibeyeboa is the NPP MP for New Durban South and a member of the Select Committee on Finance. Good evening, Doc, and you are welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening.
Doc, what are your members expecting to hear from the President?
Good evening to your listeners. I think primarily this is a constitutional obligation imposed on the President. So maybe if he had his own way, he wouldn't even deliver the State of the Nation. But the Constitution so requires him to come to the House at the beginning of every session to deliver the State of the Nation. I don't think we have to fathom hard to find how the State of the Nation is. You can tell me about the state of affairs with you, and that's the state of our nation. Right now, the cost of living is getting higher and higher by day. Prices are escalating. Everybody is complaining. That's the state of affairs. That's the state of our nation. So I'm not expecting anything. Things are not going to change after tomorrow's speech. But the president has to present a candid state of the nation. So I want him to be truthful, tell the Ghanaian people how things have gotten harder and how their living conditions have worsened. They already know, but maybe he has to apologize some. Say that, okay, we've not done our best. We plead with you to give us some more time, and then hopefully we'll be able to turn things around. So I'm not expecting anything new or any new promises. It's just the state of agriculture. He has to tell us the state of health, the state of education, and many more. But in totality, I think our economy is suffering at this point. Recognizes that there's no debate on that issue right now. Everybody says the economy is struggling. Growth is slowing down. There are imbalances everywhere in our fiscal sector, external sector. Our currency is depreciating faster. And there are difficult challenges that the president has to confront.
Well, Doctor, you said that the president should give us his candid opinion on the true state of the nation. What exactly do you mean by candid?
Yeah, when I say candid, what I mean is that we are in dire circumstances now. The economic situation is not a pleasant one to talk about. So I don't expect the president to come and tell us, oh, the better Ghana agenda is on. That would be an insult to our sensibilities. Okay, so the economic situation is not the best. If you are in doubt about any economy, look at the currency. Okay, our currency is worsening by day. Our reserves are dwindling, so the bank is unable to pump reserves, leaving stabilize the currency. Our fiscal situation is terrible. The budget deficit, the debt. The government can't make statutory payments to the District Assembly Common Fund, National Health Insurance Fund, Debt Fund, Road Fund. They are all in arrears. Some of them in arrears for over 60% of payments supposed to be done in 2013. So these are the situations that confront us right now. The president knows it. The minister knows it. The international community, the IMF knows it. The World Bank knows it. So just let the cat out of the bag and tell us that things are terrible. Things have gotten worse. Now, roll out the policies. Let's hear concrete policies geared at solving some of these fundamental problems that we have. So that's the state of our nation, and I would not want to hear those political jargon because we are not in campaigning mode. So I don't want to hear this better Ghana agenda is on and all that. Enough for tomorrow.
Doc, the director of communications at the presidency said Ghanaians should not expect new promises since the address will focus on addressing the challenges in the economy. But before you address this, let's listen to Ben Dote Malo, who speaks for the presidency.
We do not have the exact script of what the president is going to say. But when I was with the president in London a few days back, he granted an interview to the Financial Times. And one thing he said was about the economy of our nation. The economy of our nation deserves to be changed in a way that makes sure that we are a stronger people and makes sure that we do not spend more money importing items that we spend on ourselves more than what we are able and capable of producing to export. The president believes that Ghana and Ghanaians are capable of handling their economy much better, and he's going to try and guide us, lead us in a way that puts us in a better, stronger position so that we are not susceptible to little shakes and little knocks that will cause us to become too concerned. I don't think President Mahama will delight in creating hardship for the people of Ghana, whether they voted for him or those who are members of the party. The fact is, we need to take certain steps, and there is no way around it. There are no shortcuts. If we stop for shortcuts, then in the long run, we will all suffer. And this president is honest. He is clear. He is determined. He is focused day and night. And I have watched him working harder. If I am subjected to half the level of work and intensity that he's required to, you may not see this, but this is a man concerned about the average girl, the average boy, the ordinary Ghanaian, every Ghanaian man or woman, that we rise up together. He's not interested in a personal agenda for this rehabilitation work or the wage and water works. The president doesn't like it. The president is concerned. And of course, you know that the other work regarding the four water works, that has been put on hold because things must be done right. And none of us should be subjected to the kind of situation where we are having to deal with water shortages. People are saying the president is deeply concerned, and he is working very hard to make sure that, fine, these ones that are happening, they are just for a moment. And I think if we all look at it carefully, unpleasant as it is, this is not a situation that is going to last. From my understanding, and we don't want to put some time figures on it, the work is not completed. The water should start flowing to many areas, and people should be getting that.
Well, that was Ben Dote Malo, Director of Communications at the presidency. Doc, you heard him. Is that what you're expecting tomorrow? And he says the president is looking at ways of diversifying diversifying the economy. Is that a positive initiative, right?
Somebody has called this government a communications government. Listening to the communication director speak, if this president works hardest, like he's saying, then we as a country are in trouble. So this is his best. He's putting his best. And look at the sorry state of affairs that we are in now. Don't tell me about the president working extra hard. I have to see it in the numbers. I have to see it in my living standard. I have to see it in the cost of living. Okay? If we are, as a country, we are still grappling with water problems. Where I live, I can't get water. I buy water. So I didn't even know that there was a water problem in Accra because I've always bought water for 5 years. Okay? That's the kind of the situation that I face when it comes to my water situation. Everybody knows about utility bills. All of these are going up. You buy fuel, you buy petrol, you know how the cost of living is going up. So this talk of, oh, we have to change the structure of our economy, we have to start exporting more and diversifying our economy. Haven't you heard this maybe when you were in college? Or what are the actions that are being taken towards this? Mind you, this president was vice president for 4 years. It's not as though he's new on the job. He was vice president for 3.5 years. He himself told us that he had the opportunity to work as though he was president because Professor Mills, the late Professor Mills, gave him all the opportunity. So he's not learning on the job now. So I say that if he was the head of the economic management team for 5 years, now you are telling us that the president wants to diversify things. If we compare this government's track record with the last administration, at least we saw fundamental changes in the structure of our economy. If you talk of, say, the National Health Insurance Scheme, the greatest social policy that affected millions of Ghanaians, okay? You could talk of the substantial changes in the way we conducted things. For 5 years, I've not seen anything like that. So we are now coming to take off, okay? In 5 years of this administration, if I tell you, give me one solid policy that has affected the lives of the ordinary Ghanaian, can you point to one?
Doctor, in that case, if you were faced with the challenge of the economy, especially the depreciation of the city, what will be your priority measures to tackle it?
You see, you can't talk about solutions when you don't confront how we got there to start with. How come our currency started depreciating at the rate at which it was going? We've borrowed too much money. Our debt situation has worsened from $8 billion at the end of 2008. After 5 years, we are $23 billion. The government's deficit situation is terrible. 2012, 11.8%. 2013, almost 11%. You can't keep on piling up these huge deficits, and then your currency stabilizes. So if you don't tackle the fundamental problems, your deficit situation worsens. If you are spending more money than you are raking in revenue, this is basic housekeeping in your home.
So what will you do, Doc, if you are faced with that challenge?
Right now, we have to rein in spending. We have to cut spending. The things that don't work, we have to cut them out. We have to increase our revenue. The first, you don't just say, okay, raise tax rates. That's not going to work. We have to implement our national identification scheme. I've said it over and over again so that we identify every single Ghanaian. I know so many Ghanaians who don't pay taxes. The carpenter who comes to your home to fix stuff, he doesn't pay taxes. The plumber, all of them don't pay taxes. At the end of the month, they earn more than you do, but they don't pay taxes because we can't identify them. You have to have a national identification scheme. Any serious country, if you go to the U.S., they have social security. If you UK, they have the NI. You have to get a national identification scheme that identifies them. A proper addressing system that you can identify every home. That's how come you say, I will not start increasing property risk when you can't even identify the homes. You have to have a proper addressing system linked to the identification scheme. That's where you start. Then you broaden your revenue base. If you go to the customs area, there are leakages over there. Everybody knows that there are leakages. I will immediately put cameras all over. If you put cameras there and get people to monitor, your revenue is going to go up by about 20%. Okay? So tackle the revenue side of things. Then rein in the spending. There's a lot of waste in the system. Haven't you read the GIDA report? Haven't you heard that we give money to people for SADA for no work done? The tree that they said got banned. So we know how we can cut spending. and we know how we can increase our revenue. That's how you tackle this fiscal deficit situation. We talk of imports and exports, that we are importing a lot of things. Yes, you have to use the nation's power to tax. So you don't just bring unity. There are certain things that you have to impose some taxes on them. Every country does it. If you impose taxes on them, they become expensive. So people will have an appetite for domestic goods. This we know, but this talk show for the president doesn't want the Ghanaian to suffer and be trending his best or what. I think we've come too far to be told these stories.
So which areas should we be cutting spending?
The budget right before me. If I take the budget, okay, give me the job. I will just be cutting. They have an agency called the Diversity Implementation Committee. Seriously, there's no government property to divest, but we pay them every year. They have an agency called Enterprises Committee. They are supposed to supervise VRA and they don't do anything. There are so many agencies that can cut off. They are subvented organizations. Seriously, Securities and Exchange Commission. Why should the government be paying workers over there? Can't they generate their own revenue? Securities and Exchange Commission. The government gives them subvention. There are about 64 organizations that get government subvention that can be taken off the government payroll. Go to the public service. There are so many people in the public service that do no work. We know, but we pay them. Okay? If you go to the ministries, the staff at the ministry, about half of them can be done away with. I'm telling you, they do no work, and we know. So if you want me to cut, I can take the budget and tell you where we cut.
Now, Doc, on a lighter note, is Chair going to feature prominently tomorrow?
Seriously, we don't really know who said Chair, so I have stayed away from this because up until now, we don't know who said Chair. So.
All right, Doc, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Yeah, Doc. Okay. Mark Esibeya Boise, NPPNP for New Driving South and a member of the Select Committee on Finance. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Behind the News is also live on Radio BR 93.5 in Sinai Radio, Upper West 90.1 in Wine, Obunu FM 96.5 in Teman. Still on the State of the Nation address, what are the expectations of the political parties? And Kwame Jantua is the Deputy General Secretary of the CPP and is joining us on the line. Good evening, Sir Jantua. You are welcome to the program.
Good evening and good evening to fellow Ghanaians.
Mr. Jantua, what is the CPP expecting the President to say with regards to energy tomorrow?
Well, the President is giving the State of the Nation. So he's going to tell us, from what I understand, where the state is at this particular moment in time in terms of energy. I don't think he's going to make any policy statements. However, we expect him to indicate how the government is going to overcome some of the challenges that we see in the energy sector today. I believe and I hope it's not going to be a partisan thing, because where two areas are concerned, water and energy, is an area that we cannot politicize because it directly affects the people, So I'm hoping that in his State of the Nation and in giving suggestions as to how we are going to overcome, he would also invite stakeholders to bring their points of view as to how they see we can overcome these challenges.
But specifically, which areas do you expect the address to focus on?
Well, for me, the major thing is electricity, power. Because for me, it affects the people directly. How we are going to get over the seemingly on and off power crisis we are having today. In terms of equipment, of our power institution, GRIDCO. In terms of the fuel, at the present moment, the gas infrastructure, I saw in a newspaper the other day, which said 59 days to completion. It's nowhere near completion. And even where the gas is concerned, there are certain things that need to be put in place that even if the gas infrastructure were finished today, you might not really be able to gain any benefit from it at this present moment in time. One of the things that I can see and I can mention is accommodation for the 120 employees that are going to man the gas infrastructure. That at the present moment is not in place. Are they going to hire places? How far are they going to hire these places from? A whole gamut of things need to be in place before really and truly the gas infrastructure can be put in place. I do believe that government is keen in terms of the Etwabo thermal plant connection for gas to run through it quickly. But even so, commissioning would take a certain duration of time. And we need to face that it's not going to be by the end of this year, but it could be moved into beginning of next year. I would want the president to be very, very truthful as to the energy sector today. The gas is very important, extremely important. We have to be able to find ways of not flaring the gas that, you know, we are due to flare now. I think we should look at other alternatives of being able to capture this gas. Because let's face it, we've already been told that the gas coming out of the Jubilee field is not going to be enough. So why flare this gas if we can capture it? Yes, it might come with some cost, but we need to weigh it out and see whether that cost would benefit us in the long run. So these are some of the things I would expect the president to talk about in terms of energy. In terms of the hydro dams we've got, yes, waterfall is a huge challenge for us. And I hope that, you know, he would say something more about alternate sources of energy, wind power, increasing the solar site we have up north, and also looking at the IPPs, how best we can get the IPPs going. Because let's face it, if we get IPPs today who are going to run on gas, we don't have enough gas to do that. So we should look at the alternate ways of being able to run our grid system and run electricity so that we don't have this doomso situation that we are beginning to start having again this year.
Mr. Jantua, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Kwame Jantua is the Deputy General Secretary of the CPP. Let's also engage the mood in the camp of the PNC ahead of tomorrow's State of the Nation address. And Mohammed Atik is the Policy Analyst of the PNC. Good evening, Mr. Atik, and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening, my dear, and thanks for having me.
Mr. Atik, what are your expectations of the State of the Nation address tomorrow?
Thank you. Let me say good evening to our cherished listeners. For me, I don't think that I have certain expectations, except to say that...
Mr. Atik, could you reposition yourself? Well, we are having a feedback from you.
Okay, I'm saying that. I'm sure it's better now.
Yes, you can go ahead.
Yes, I'm saying that for me, I do not have too many expectations, except to say that I'm expecting that the president would be truthful with Ghanaians in respect of the true state of the economy. The president would be truthful with us in respect of the reasons accounting for the state in which we find ourselves in today. And by that, I would expect that the president tells us that and admit, as a matter of fact, that indeed the excessive borrowing that he and his government engaged in is part of the reason why we are going through this economic mess today. I would also expect the president to admit that it is as a result of, if you like, improper management that resulted in us losing its value against major foreign currencies. And I would also expect that the president would admit that if you look at the current state of our manufacturing, it is suffering to the extent that the growth rate of manufacturing subsector in the last fiscal year was nothing to write home about. If we keep having this argument or this debate about the need to change the structure of our economy, then what that simply means, we are saying that we want to expand manufacturing. If you look at what happened to manufacturing in the last fiscal year, it is really something very lamentable. And it is all because of the kinds of fiscal policies that were at play in the last fiscal year. And we've had that spill over 2014. So that you would have a lot of companies, some having to cut down production because the cost of doing business had gone up. And when I say the cost of doing business had gone up, I simply mean that access to credit was becoming a problem. The cost of production, because some of the factor inputs had actually become very expensive to deal with. And I would specifically mention energy. And we all realize that a lot of these companies rely on energy. The cost of it and the unavailability of it were two critical factors that worked against manufacturing. So I would expect that the president would admit that we might have decided to subsidize, I mean to remove subsidies from utilities and ask companies to pay full cost. But it came, I mean the price we paid for that kind of policy intervention was that manufacturing had to suffer, and that is why it grew by that marginal 2.5%. And I personally would also expect that the president would talk about the fact that the solutions that have been suggested by the Bank of Ghana are not going to be sustainable, and that we need to do much more if our CD must regain its value. Because the short-run measures that have been suggested include that people can no longer withdraw foreign currencies from their forex accounts. What that simply means is that you are pushing customers or the banking public to begin to hoard their foreign currencies, because if I want my money in foreign currency and I'm told that the new regulation is that I have to go for it in Ghana cedis, I do not have any motivation to want to save my money in any bank. So what that means is that it is going to cause a depletion of foreign currency deposits in our banks, thus pushing a further decline in the ability of banks to supply foreign currency.
All right.
And once that happens, what is going to happen is that already the cost of dollar is rising because there is a huge gap between demand and supply. So by forcing people to hoard their foreign currencies, you are worsening the supply situation, which would mean that the price or the cost of dollar and other foreign currencies for that matter is going to go up. So I think that the president should be very clear with us, tell us that, look, in the short run, these are the dangers that we face and that we are looking to solve them in the long term, and clearly spell out what plans the government has in that respect.
All right.
In terms of education, I expect to hear the president address the concerns of this, of teachers in respect of rationalizing them. We already are complaining about deficits, so it is not as if we have more than enough in urban areas.
All right.
And that some people deliberately are not going to rural areas. If there are no incentives to go to rural areas, nobody would want to go there. So if the president is going to address the issues in respect of education, I expect to hear a mention about some incentives for teachers who wish to go to rural areas.
Mr. Atik, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Mohammed Atik is the policy analyst of the PNC. Now, one sector which has been affected by the recent economic challenges in the country is commerce and industry, as the economy is obviously going to be a major focus of the president in a State of the Nation address. We gauge the expectation of players in the industry, and Seth Ajay Ba is president, Ghana Chamber of Commerce, and he's joining us on the line. Good evening, Mr. Ajay Ba. You are welcome to the program.
Thank you, my sister.
The president is tipped to touch on the economy and its current challenges. What are the expectations of industry players in this regard?
We look at a situation where government will look at how to support those in manufacturing so that we'll be able to produce most of the things that we need here. That will help us to reduce the imports. The pressure on the city is the imbalance between export and import. And so long as we're importing almost everything, we think it will not be easy to stabilize the city. So government should come out with how best is going to help to support our brothers who are into manufacturing to be able to expand their business so that we can produce most of the things that we need here. I'm shocked to hear that rice alone, we are importing about $600 million. And we import tomato and other things. So if we are able to produce and consume such things and even export the excesses, this pressure will not be on us. But we are importing almost everything, and that is what we are doing now. I saw recently kebab sticks on the market being imported. Just even two piccolo kebab sticks. If you're importing all these things, then I'm afraid it's not going to be easy for us to stabilize the seed, no matter what we do. So let's see how best government can help us to go into manufacturing to produce most of the things that we need so that we can help to add value to export others to earn more foreign exchange.
The energy and petroleum sectors have been a major challenge to industry. How should the president address issues of this sector?
Well, we're looking at it. I think it's always been a challenge. The cost of it is high, and the frequency of getting the energy is another issue. We are hoping the policy direction will help implementation. That will let us have frequent and affordable energy to be able to improve our production.
Now, on the falling value of the cedi against other major currencies, do you expect the president to prefer any solution or measures different from that of the central bank?
You know, the central bank situation, I would say, is something temporary. The permanent situation to address the issue is to increase production, is demand and supply. So if you are not able to produce here, then whatever that we do is going to worsen the situation. Because now, our sisters, our brothers who are into small scale, who go to Ivory Coast, who go to Togo, bring goods in to come and sell. How do they go for letters of credit? They take their money along with them and buy piece and pieces here, put them together and ship them to Ghana to come and sell. We are not the people who has one stop, like somebody importing 5 containers, 10 containers of a product. So it means that this one's from out of business because they will not be able to have the money to go out there to buy all those things. If they are out of business, definitely it's going to affect us. And that is a challenge. So I think we should find a way to just bring balance in the dollar issue so that port export, if we are able to get a balance, then all these things will be things of the past. But if you are not able to address that imbalance, I'm afraid we have a lot of challenges ahead of us.
Mr. Ejeba, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Seth Ejeba is President, Ghana Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Political scientists will also have their political lenses focused on what the president is going to say to consolidate the economy, because he has to go back to the people for the renewing of his mandate after his 4-year term. And to help us discuss the issue is Dr. Agri Dark, who is a political science lecturer at the University of Ghana. Good evening, Doc, and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
Doc, what will you expect to hear from the president come tomorrow?
Yeah, thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners. Basically, as you are well aware, this is a fulfillment of a constitutional requirement, and so in line with what I will call procedural democracy, he will be fulfilling a very important constitutional mandate. Fundamentally, I'm looking at it from three key broad issues. Basically, you should be telling us giving us more or less having taken stock of what he has done over the year, indicating the major achievements down the line. I'm also expecting that the president will highlight some of the key difficulties and challenges that, you know, he was confronted with or confronted the nation in the process of trying to prosecute the Better Ghana agenda that he promised all of us. And then, of course, you know, within this context, I would be expecting that he will give us bits and pieces, a snippet of what precisely the economy is going to be like, or what basic ideas and vision that he has for the country in the coming year. So a number of key areas will come to the fore, basically. I will be interested in looking at how he will deal with some of these utility problems, issues of energy, issues of water, and among others, because these things are very key, fundamental to, you know, to driving the economy. You know, when these things are available, when energy and those things are readily available, they really reduce the cost of doing business. And that in itself is the continual atmosphere for the private sector to really, you know, gel, as it were. Of course, I'm expecting that basically we'll deal with some of these infrastructure, you know, challenges that we have. Key among them will be the road sector, for instance. And you look at the road sector, it's shaped. I mean, most of our roads are deteriorating very, very fast. So it's one area that I'll be interested in seeing what specific measures he'll be tightening up in terms of monitoring, in terms of the contract that will be, in terms of some of the routes which have stayed for a very long time. If you look at the Tetekwashi Adenta Road, it was started even before I registered for my PhD, you know, in 2006. If you look at the Kumasi Road, some of these major roads must be completed, and we should be able to see how the president will tackle some of those specifics. Of course, the issues of transparency and accountable governance, I mean, there's no point, we cannot deliver this point. But this is critical to the sustenance of our democracy. Of course, if you talk of issues of the economy, one would know you are interested in what, you know, the currency and the stability, and if we are going to put in place, you know, measures to change the structure of the economy, then we should be interested in looking at how we stem this balance of payment and balance terms of trade and other issues. We must be interested in growing or mechanizing our agriculture, which they promised us last year, but nothing really seriously has happened. If you look at mechanizing, as I said, mechanizing agriculture, we have to also think seriously about, you know, manufacturing sector and so on. We are very much interested in what he has done as far as the two universities, one in Volta region, the health and allied sciences, and then of course the natural energy and natural resources in the Bonga Harbor. What specific concrete measures he put in place to kickstart some of these key educational institutions? Of course, I will also be looking at what plans he has to deal with the one that comes in the eastern region as far as education is concerned. Of course, issues of security, and so it's a gamut of issues that really I'll be looking at. But fundamentally, I'll be interested in looking at specifics, even though I reckon that, you know, a bit of addition, like any policy opportunity, the president will not be delving into specifics so much. Well, the emphasis then will be on broad policy guidelines, and then we'll allow the technical guys to fill in the technical details. But I'll be expecting that, you know, there must be some deviation from the existing norm, and then he will be delving into certain specifics that will help us, you know, really now tie him down to certain specifics, and this is what we have done, and so on. So,
how can the ordinary citizen identify with the State of the Nation address, or do the issues raised in the address really appeal to the ordinary citizen?
These are bread and butter issues. I mean, if we're talking about roads, if the president decides to fix a road, you know, a road has serious economic value, isn't it? It facilitates the travel, reduces the travel time, reduces the cost of doing business, and so on. If we are looking at energy, for instance, and the president has concrete plans that will ensure that we put in energy, policies and programs, so we can deal with the shortfalls that we've been experiencing, so that we don't have this erratic power supply, among others. This has, you know, it has a positive spillover effect on all of us. If the president is, you know, interested or has concrete plans to fix, let's say, the NHIS problems and deal with some of these factors as far as the statutory payments are concerned to the MMDAs and so on, this has implications for how even the district assemblies, the municipal assemblies, metropolitan assembly can prosecute the various programs that they have set for themselves. And this has huge implications for the survival of you and I. And of course, if concrete measures apart from and the remedial measures that, you know, the Bank of Ghana put in place, if concrete measures are put in place, that will stem the tide of this free fall of our currency. It has huge implications for business. It has huge implications for planning. It has huge implications for savings. Of course, it has huge implications for our ability to grow our economy, our ability to save. The fact that it has the capacity of increasing our purchasing power, basically, and then planning processes and growing our economy, and then creating employment, basically. So, and of course, if, you know, some fundamental issues like employment, which is so dear to the heart of the ordinary Ghanaian, if there are concrete measures, you know, to deal with this issue on employment, I believe that it has a huge implication for the survival of you and I. I mean, it enhances our dignity. It ensures that you and I have a future. The youth, if you are saying that the future is the youth, we must give them hope. And the hope is that we must create the wealth, be able to grow the economy, ensure that they have decent job opportunities available to them. And then there is a positive incentive for hard work. Otherwise, people will go to school, and then if the end result is that you finish school and there's no job opportunity for you, people will then be using unconventional methods just to get in their mind. And that will be negative incentive for work, basically.
And Doc, how do you foresee the president handling the heckling from the minority members? And will you be surprised if the minority members of the House carry placards with the inscription "Chia"? Would you be surprised?
Well, I would not be surprised at all. I mean, you know, heckling is part of democratic, you know, systems. I mean, it's normal in any democratic experiment or democratic state. You, Obama and co, you know, Bush, you know, Tony Blair, you know, Gordon Brown. Oh no, all these guys are heckling. Angela Merkel and all of them, they are heckling one way or other. Sometimes it embellishes, you know, the whole democratic, experiment. And but you know, normally what they normally will do is that they will want to use some other, I would say, anomic, you know, behavior sort of to you know, draw, you know, home or drum home certain demands or certain concerns. And basically, what it does is that it just to show you that hey, we are all not singing from the same hymn sheet, as it were. But there are some concerns that perhaps you have. These are side issues which I think really detracts from the beauty of democracy. They rather embellish democracy, you know. That's what I would say for now, yes.
Doc, away from the State of the Nation Address, today is exactly 48 years when Ghana experienced its first coup d'etat. Why is the opinion divided when the 66 coup comes up for debate?
Well, when you talk of the 1966 coup, some people contextualize it in the sense that, well, at a point in time, there was no constitutional means of changing the government. Don't forget that Nkrumah had made himself a life president. He had made the CPP the only political party, so there was no constitutional way of changing the government or president for that matter. All other political parties had been proscribed. So some cynical analysts will argue that in the absence of a democratic way of changing systems, you know, a number of options come to the fore. One will be assassination, and that is where you experience several attempts on the life of the first president, and of course the second will be a coup d'etat. And so some have argued that really signified that, well, if you don't routinize, you may be a charismatic leader, but if you don't routinize your charisma and ensure that the structures that you have put in place have a way or subscribe to the ideal model of bureaucracy, what we call the legal rationale, bureaucracy, where we are talking about office and functions, and that there are methods by which, you know, leaders can be changed, then you open yourself up for the use of certain unconventional methods like what happened. But of course, you know, no two people are the same. And whenever, you know, some people have argued that whenever you have two people arguing, they agree all the time, it means one of them is not thinking. So as a nation, and of course we are dealing with different traditions, anytime there's going to be a change, there are two people that you are going to confront. No. One will be the defenders of the old order, because they profit by the old order. Whether the old order is good or not, the status quo is good or not, once they profit by the system, they are against any form of change. And then, of course, there are people who will benefit from the new change, but they are not sure how the change is actually going to impact their lives. And so sometimes you have lukewarm defenders. So if you look at it through the benefit of hindsight, some will argue that perhaps the coup, you know, did some disservice. Some have argued that whether the coup was in the right direction, because it signified that, look, it cannot be, even if you are a benevolent dictator, there must be a way of changing the government, a constitutional way of changing the government.
Wow.
Otherwise, then other unconventional methods may suggest themselves in the process, yes. So we have different traditions,
right,
and we are bound to have different, you know, opinions as far as the 1966 coup is concerned, yes.
Doc, we are very grateful for your time with us tonight. Dr. Agri Dakun is a political science lecturer at the University of Ghana. Now, let's read some of your text messages. Abraham Batibu in Dambai says the president should focus on how to pay the arrears of government workers, particularly teachers. And Monica Cohen says the president is seriously putting things right and would definitely have something good to tell the nation tomorrow. Odewale Nkasma says Ghanaians will be happy if the address bring an end to the energy and water crisis. Kojo Ekins in Kekos writes, the president's address to the nation will clearly show his total commitment to the well-being of Ghanaians. Kwame Ansanjoli says, I hope the address will not be received with a red card by the minority as it did to our late President Mills. Nicholas is here doing Chinchinku says, the president's address must highlight the remedies to the depreciation city. And Mahama Inwa says, Gun Education Service has failed to pay transfer guns of staff transferred from various stations since 2011. Please pay us our guns. And Monica Cons again says, no matter how good the address will be, trust the opposition to have their day. And this is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program. George Kwaku controlled the sounds, and my producers were Edmund Tete, Christopher Sidu, Brian Tagama, Phyllis Kofi, and John Pobi. Rosemary Gazy read the summaries. My name is Agatha Samwan. You have a lovely night.